Hare Krishna, everyone. And you?
Of Krishna Balaram. Maybe we just put it here, maybe.
What is the age limit for you?
You asked us that in our discussion. I said there is no age limit.
Ah, okay. Some water, please. Well, it's very nice to be here with all of you youths and others. I understand that you're making a study of the Shikshastakam, correct? So, do we have the Shikshastakam, you know, the whole thing around? We could recite it, or at least that verse. So we are going to read the second verse of Shikshastakam tonight. And in this way, hopefully, get some inspiration about our chanting, the quality of our chanting. We have a mridanga player. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari
Bye.
Shivad, Paramahan, Sripati, Rajacharya, Tadasa, Shishmat, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki, Iskan, Swandra, Chaya, Srila Prabhupada, Ki, Sri Srinathai Gaura Hare Ki, Sri Srinathai Sachi Sutta Ki, Sri Sri Shikshastakam Ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki, Gopremanande, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Sri Sri Shikshastaka Ki.
Jai.
So we'll read the second verse of Shikshastaka. Nam namakari bahuda nijasarvishaktis tatrarpita niyamata smarane nakala eta drishi tavakripa bhagavan mama. Dordaivam idrishamiha janina nuraga. Translation. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names, such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen, conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy names, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. Om Gyan Chamaramasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshamudhavyayatasmai Shri Guruvaya Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhukale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadati Kam Manchakalpa Tarubhya Sakripa Sindhubhya Vacha Padidhanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasti Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these Shikshastakam verses, Shiksha Ashta, Ashtakam, eight verses of instruction by Lord Chaitanya, they're really very vitally important because, for many reasons, but one important point is that Lord Chaitanya, even though he said many things, he preached and explained so many things about Krishna consciousness to so many important devotees like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. In Chaitanya Charitamrita we find several chapters actually, a substantial portion of the whole book is dedicated to to Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. So certainly Lord Chaitanya, he said so many very, very important, essential things. But he didn't write anything down. He left that to the six Goswamis particularly. However, he did write something, and that was the Shikshastaka. But that was all that he wrote down, essentially. Essentially, at least. He wrote a few other things down, sort of casually, you could say, but in terms of compiling something and systematically recording something, this is all that he wrote in that sense. He also wrote down on paper that one verse which Rupa Goswami, I think it was Rupa Goswami, then discovered. He, Lord Chaitanya, wrote down this verse on a piece like of leaf or bark and put it in the thatched roof of his cottage. And then I think it was Rupa Goswami found it. That was the verse expressing the mood of Radharani, meeting Krishna again in Kurukshetra. Now we're meeting after so many years in this place, but it's far away from Vrindavan. I would really like to meet you there. So he wrote that down, but actually tried to hide it. It was not like a declaration to the world, but this Shikshastakam is certainly a declaration to the world. So when did you start reading this? Last meeting, was it?
2 meetings. The last meeting was
okay. So this is the second verse. And you know, this Shikshastakam, if you analyze it, and different of our great acharyas have analyzed it very deeply, if we analyze, we see that it is going step by step deeper into the subject. First verse, which you read a few weeks ago, is general statement that this chanting, Sankirtan, Param Vijayate, it's glorious, most glorious. But then now we're going, the following verses are going into the science of the chanting. The first verse is more just establishing the glory of the chanting of the holy names, how wonderful it is. But now, from this second verse on, and step by step through the rest of the Shikshastaka, Lord Chaitanya is explaining, describing different levels and different types of consciousness which are there in chanting. And this is the first one of those verses that Krishna, you're so kind, you've given us your holy names, in this way you've given us everything, just everything, we don't need anything else. But there is one problem. What is that problem? Well, yeah, in a broader sense, the problem is me. This process is so wonderful, but the only thing that gets in the way of it is me. So what to do about me? We've got to do something. Yes, so he establishes this point that this chanting is so wonderful that in your holy name, all your potencies, all your energies are there. Everything is there complete. In other words, you don't need to do anything else. You don't need to worship the demigods, don't need to worship Lord Shiva or Durga or Mother Kali. You don't need to do any other program like do kavadi or fire walking or porridge prayers. Don't need. This holy name alone In your holy name there is all good fortune. Whatever good fortune you could get in this way or that, you can get that most simply, most effectively, even more effectively by just chanting the holy names. And so much good fortune is there. And on top of that, there are no hard and fast rules. Anyone can do it any place, any time. There are none of these technical considerations. We made a video a couple of years ago, you may have seen it, of Lanesha Rathayatra and Krishna Chandra Prabhu did the Bogi Yogi play. And he was telling the foolish young customer who was looking for some spiritual help, he was telling him how you have to do the special prayer. You have to take the monkey balls, I think they were, whatever they are, and then you have to turn to the left and turn to the right and turn to the left again, then three times to the right and four times to the left. And if you didn't do four times, if you did it five or three, then oh well, total failure. But in the chanting of the holy names, it's not like that. Yes, even if there's great disqualification, but still the holy names can work very powerfully and very wonderfully. I think we've all heard of the story of Ajamil. He was such a hopeless case, but he chanted the holy names more or less inadvertently. He was not intending to glorify the Lord by chanting his holy names. He was just calling his son, who he coincidentally, more or less, had given a name of the Lord. And despite the fact that he was engaged in all sorts of nonsense activities and so on, but he got a great result. So this chanting of the holy names is so wonderful. Whereas on the other hand, other processes, they're much more difficult, don't give so much. If you make some small mistake, everything becomes a failure. You know, we talk about this, it's described in Madhurya Kadambini. You may have heard how Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is discussing the same point about devotional service compared to Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and so on. And he mentions the story of Vritrasura. In his previous life, he was Chitraketu, but there was some offense. So he fell from his position. He became a demon, at least externally. So, well, it's a long story, but at least in this particular, in regards to this particular point, about how, you know, very sensitive and how you have to be very careful about avoiding error and so on in other processes, like in this case it was Karma Kandya or some type of material religious activity. So what happened was that Twashta, one of the demigods, Vishvakarma actually, his son was killed by Indra. So Twashta wanted revenge. So he performed a big fire sacrifice, Karma Kandya, material, fruitive sacrifice, in order to produce someone from the sacrifice who could kill Indra. So they chanted the mantras, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur draws out this very important point that they were chanting mantras to get someone who could kill Indra, but they made a mistake. Actually, I think we may have mentioned this in one of the seminars we did not long ago. They mispronounced one syllable. The actual word, because they wanted someone who can kill Indra, or the way they put it is a little in a more sort of cultured way, someone who will be the enemy of Indra, which effectively means someone who can kill Indra. So the Sanskrit is Indra Shatraho, but they mispronounced one syllable. Indra Shatraho means the enemy of Indra. They said Indra Shatro, which means he whose enemy is Indra. Or in other words, he who Indra can kill. So, you know, that was the only mistake. They chanted many mantras. Everything else was perfect, to the syllable perfect. But here there's one mistake by one syllable. And anyway, Vritrasura, they didn't realize at the time that this mistake was there. And out of the fire came Vritrasura, this gigantic demon. And they thought, well, he's so big and powerful, he must be the person who can kill Indra. Anyway, then they fought, but Indra killed him because of that mistake by one syllable. So just think, in our chanting, if our chanting had to be perfect to the syllable, otherwise you would just get nothing, or they got the opposite. They got the opposite just by mispronouncing one syllable. So just consider, if our chanting had to be perfect to the syllable, where would we be? It's a little, I don't know, really, but I don't think we would get very far, frankly. Different devotees have different specialties and different ways of chanting while doing other things, chanting while talking to people, chanting while watching TV, chanting while reading the paper, and different versions of the Hare Krishna mantra you may have heard. There are different versions. When devotees become diverted, their minds become diverted, then their chanting reflects that. And one devotee, I won't mention his name, but we can always tell when his mind is wandering, because we hear how the mantra has got diverted, and it becomes Hare Krishna, instead of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It becomes, when his mind is diverted, it becomes Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. What do you think of that? This we call the Hare Krishna mini mantra, not the Maha mantra. So, you know, let's face it, a lot of chanting that goes on, particularly of japa, a lot of chanting that goes on is not very good in terms of pronunciation and clarity and, you know, sort of the fineness of the chanting process. So, but this verse applies. This verse applies that, despite that, still one can get a very nice result. Still, like a Jamil, it was like that. His mind was elsewhere. He was not thinking that I'm chanting the name Narayan, I must pronounce nicely and remember the Lord and not think of anything else. he was thinking just of his child when he was chanting Narayan, but he became liberated. So here Lord Chaitanya says there are no hard and fast rules. You can do it any time, any place. Like there was one great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Gopal Guru Goswami. Have you heard of him? Not so well known really, but he was prominent in those days. So actually he was just a young boy when Lord Chaitanya was in his later years, and he was there in Jagannath Puri. And one time Gopal, at that point he was just called Gopal, small boy, perhaps 5 years old. So one day Gopal was there and he saw Lord Chaitanya running to the bathroom. And Lord Chaitanya, as he was running, he had his mouth open, his tongue stuck out, and he was holding his tongue with his fingers. Really, it's, you know, quite an extraordinary sight. And Gopal stopped him, 5-year-old boy, stopped him and said, "My Lord, why are you doing that?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, I'm going to the bathroom, and it's such a dirty place. But the thing is, my tongue will not stop chanting Hare Krishna. And the name Krishna is Krishna. So if I chant Hare Krishna in the bathroom, Krishna will have to be exposed to all the, you know, the smells and all the sort of the dirtiness and everything. And I don't want my Lord Krishna to have to go through that, but I can't stop myself chanting, so I'm holding my tongue." And Gopal said, "But my Lord, it says in Shastra that at the time of death you must chant the holy names. You must chant. And the time of death is the most contaminated time. It is even dirtier and more contaminated than being in the bathroom. So therefore, you should just chant. Don't worry about holding your tongue." He instructed Lord Chaitanya, "Just chant. Don't worry about it." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Gopal, that was fantastic. Thank you so much." He said, "Gopal, you're my guru." So Gopal became known as Gopal Guru. And later he became a sannyasi and one of the great leaders of our sampradaya in the generation or so after Lord Chaitanya. And he became known as Gopal Guru Goswami. And I think if you look in our calendar, at least, you know, the proper Vaishnav calendar, then you may find his appearance or disappearance day there. At least it used to be, maybe it still is. And he's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah, so the holy names, no hard and fast rules. You can't do your fire sacrifice in the bathroom. Can you? Can't do it. When you're walking down the street, when you're in the bath, when you're walking down the street, when you get a few minutes at work, tea break, you can't do a quick fire sacrifice. Or, you know, a quick bit of deity worship as you walk down the street to work while you're sitting in the taxi and the music is going boom, boom, boom. You can't do some quick silent meditation. It's not so easy. But chanting the holy names you can do. Even even we go down the main street sometimes chanting. Actually, we should go a lot more often, in fact. In fact, when I joined, this is what we did every day. Every day we had our morning program, we took breakfast, and by 9:30 or thereabouts, we were out down the main street of London. So we'd come back for lunch. After lunch, maybe 2:30 or 3, we were back out again, chanting the holy names. So there we were, walking down Oxford Street, which is, you know, main shopping street in London. Big, big street, so many people and cars and advertisements and shops and noise and pollution and so on. But we were chanting very happily. Very happily. It was so nice. And when we became absorbed in the chanting, we didn't care where we were. Didn't matter. It was just accept. We were in ecstasy. That's where we were. In ecstasy. So, no hard and fast rules. It's so nice. The Lord is so kind. But there's one problem. That is me. That's the problem. I get in the way. Even though the process is so simple and wonderful and lenient and merciful, but he says, Durdaivam Idrisham Ihajani Nanuraga. Durdaiva means misfortune. Daiva refers to the divine energy, and Durdaiva means there's misfortune, there's no divineness. Yeah, na anuraga, and therefore I don't have any attachment to this chanting, even though it's so easy. Even though it's so easy and merciful and lenient and wonderful, but still I'm so stupid. Still, I have no attachment. I start chanting, and then after a little while, I conveniently fall asleep. Yes. You know, sometimes devotees are striving, some devotees, striving for the mode of goodness. And they become so much in the mode of goodness, so peaceful. So peaceful, they fall asleep. So it may not be the mode of goodness. It may be another one of the modes. And it's not passion either. So, despite everything, it's like, you know, you have every chance, you have every opportunity. Just opportunity is just pouring over your head, but you turn your back on it anyway. How is that? So, in the analyses of these verses, different of our acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur particularly, have analyzed these verses and Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he says this word Durdaiva, meaning misfortune, that I try to chant but I'm so unfortunate I don't become attached. Oh. You know, we had a very interesting experience in Mayapur this time. That there we were in Mayapur, this most sacred of all holy places. And everyone has a cell phone. And half of them don't turn it off during class. Oh, it's amazing. People ducking out. different techniques. One technique is to find how to find the telephone technique as it's ringing. Is it here? Is it there? Is it there? Is it in my bag? Is it my phone? Oh, it's in my hand. So that's the one technique. The other technique is in the middle of everything, we head out of the room. Yes, anyway. So, Durdaiva, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the particular, for the sadhaka, the devotee who's trying to develop Krishna consciousness and trying to practice and cultivate, he says particularly this Durdaiva, this misfortune, this bad luck, where things are not going our way, we're missing the chance. Particularly, this means that we're committing the offences. Particularly. There's so many ways you can miss out and fail. But particularly for those who are trying to be Krishna conscious, it means the 10 offences. That because I'm committing the 10 offences, therefore, na anuraga, no attachment. Actually, that anurag is a very high level of attachment. It means attachment like super glue, like that. It means attachment so you try and pull them apart, you can't pull them apart. That type of attachment, anurag, very, very powerful attachment. There's famous verse by Queen Kunti, Vipada Santa Tashashvat Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyat Apunar Bhavadarshanam. That my Lord, I wish all those calamities would come again and again, so we will see your lotus feet again and again. Because when we see your lotus feet, then we don't have to see repeated birth and death. This is a prayer by Queen Kunti, I think it's verse 25 of the 8th chapter of the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Preeti Sandhava, Jiva Goswami comments on this verse. He says, this is a display of anuraga, extreme attachment. She's so attached that she thinks that if my own pain will bring Krishna quicker, then please let there be pain. Please let me suffer. She's requesting. I wish those calamities would come again and again. I want it, please. Of course, when Krishna comes, then the pain coming from whatever it may be, when Krishna comes, the pain becomes totally forgotten. The pain is like this, and the ecstasy of being with Krishna is like that. Like there's a saying in Russia. There are lots of good sayings in Russia. Hunger is the best chef. What do you think of that? That if you're not hungry, if you're really not hungry at all, and even they bring your favorite preparation, but at best you may take a nibble, but you can't, get into it and enjoy it like that at all. You can't do it. But if you're hungry, if you're really hungry, then even some sort of something which is not very nice It may taste wonderful, ecstatic. Yeah. Yes, so, like that, she's feeling like that. That the best, how do I get Krishna to notice me and come to me? If I get into difficulty and cry out for help, Krishna is so kind he comes to help. And this is the quickest way he comes. If I don't need help, he usually, you know, he's not so quick to come. So let me get into difficulty as much as possible. Krishna will be there just like that. And again, so many difficulties all the time. Krishna will be with me always. And I will be in ecstasy and the difficulty will be like nothing. So this is Anurag, this is very elevated. You know, devotees do ask sometimes that should we then follow in the footsteps of Queen Kunti and pray to Krishna, please let me suffer. I want more suffering. I'm not suffering enough. Should we pray like that? But generally we advise that no, don't pray like that. Because we've got enough suffering. And if you get too much suffering, if you're not advanced enough, and you get too much suffering, the mind may just become too disturbed, and you may forget Krishna. It can happen if the devotee is like neophyte, not very experienced. They may lose faith in Krishna. That here I am, you know, I'm in so much difficulty. I'm trying to chant Hare Krishna. Krishna's not helping me. Maybe there's no Krishna. Maybe I should have gone to the church after all, like the Christians said. Yeah, so you don't need to pray like that. But the thing is, why do we not have that attachment or so much attachment? It's because we're committing offenses particularly. That's the main thing. So therefore, when it comes to chanting the holy names, the main effort of the devotee must be to chant the holy names without offenses. Specific, pointed, systematic effort to chant like that very attentively. If you're not attentive, you won't know if you're chanting offensively or not, will you? You won't know what you're doing. And therefore your chanting will be not very good. Yeah. So, in one sense, the first offense is inattention. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says you should identify your offenses so they're there, you can see them, there they are, and then avoid them very carefully. And in this way you can come from the offensive stage, which is what Lord Chaitanya is talking about, to the next stage, which is the clearing stage, which is in between the offensive stage and the pure stage of chanting in love of God. So in between there's that stage where you're not just being offensive and being nonsense, but you're not totally pure. You're in between. You're working on clearing out those offenses. So what the characteristic, you know, one of the main characteristics of that clearing stage is that the offenses or the propensity within oneself to commit the offenses is pushing at you. Come on, come on. Watch TV, it's okay. No one's watching. And it's just the news. What's wrong with that? And if the news hasn't come on yet and you watch a bit of the program before, then what's the problem? Don't be a fanatic. So those propensities are pushing. Offensive stage means those propensities are pushing at us and we are giving in to them. All right, I will watch Kuch Kuch Hota Hai for the 150th time. But the clearing stage means the propensity is pushing at you, come on, do it. But you are saying no. So you are not doing it. Even though that the energy is there, come on, but you're saying no. This is the clearing stage. Offenseless stage, pure stage means simply absorbed in Krishna. That's relishing ecstatically and always Krishna consciousness, and not even a hint of, you know, maybe what about, you know, doing a little bit of this or that, some nonsense. Not even a hint of it. But now we're in between. We got to get from one side to the other. So that clearing stage means that the propensities to do these different nonsense things are pushing at us, trying to get us to do them. The clearing stage means the devotee says no and continues on with making efforts in Krishna consciousness. Continues on chanting and hearing nicely and giving good attention like that. So this is what is necessary then in order to get through the stage that Lord Chaitanya is talking about here. We have to come to that clearing stage and really work systematically on our chanting. And there is an underlying sort of fundamental state of consciousness which assists that and makes it possible and makes one's whole development from that point possible and facilitates that. And what is that state of consciousness? Trinada Pisa Nichena Torora Pisa Ishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadari. But you'll hear about that next time, I guess. One step at a time. Okay. Yes, so let's work on our chanting. You know, one of our god brothers, Niranjan Maharaj, actually gave a very nice sort of example that we are chanting Hare Krishna means we're calling Krishna, please come, I want to serve you, give me some servants. So then Krishna comes, knocks on the door, knock, we open the door, there's Krishna. Oh, you'd like to do something for me? Then offensiveness means we close the door in his face. No, go away. How's that? You're calling him, please come here, I want to serve you. He comes and says, okay, you want to serve me? No, bang, go away. This is offensive, but it's also a little crazy, isn't it? Please, for hours, at least if we're chanting 16 rounds a day, couple of hours, we're calling Krishna, let me serve you, Krishna, please let me serve you, Krishna, for a couple of hours. And then he comes, says, okay, you can serve me, bang, go away. What is that? But that is what offensiveness means. Krishna, I want to serve you. Actually, I don't really want to serve you. Krishna, I want to serve you. I don't want to serve you. It's just very mixed up. That offensive state of mind is a very mixed up state of mind. So we have to get out of it by becoming very careful, very attentive in our chanting, and really trying to chant in a humble state of mind. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
You mentioned in the beginning of the class that these are the shikshas and the aids of the Lord Chaitanya. You find with the Goswami that some of these scripts are still preserved, like in Vrindavan. Is this scripts of Lord Chaitanya still preserved also?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think the original ones are. Some of the Goswamis, some of their original, actual, handwritten pieces are existent. Not many, but a few. I think if the Shikshastakam was really existing, the actually what Lord Chaitanya personally wrote, I think we'd know about it. Inattentive.
And sometimes when you try to tell someone that you keep a channel properly, and they feel that it's a channel.
Yes.
How best can one approach that?
Well, look, you know, if people don't want to be helped, particularly if they become offended, then best just to leave them. We had one boy, some of you may have heard, we had this one boy initiated, his name was Valmiki. He would always fall asleep while chanting, just repeatedly every day. And the devotees would try and tell him, Prabhuji, falling asleep, no, I'm not. Until, you know, he was getting quite nasty about it. So one day he just fell asleep completely. So what they did was rolled out his sleeping bag in front of him, set the alarm clock like for 1 minute ahead, and everyone got out of the room, and there he was, and then the alarm went. Anyway, you know, small things amuse small minds. Okay. I hope it's not one of your cars. But anyway, the thing is that, you know, if we see devotees are actually doing something, in fact, which is actually detrimental, then we should try and help. But if they will not accept our help, then what can you do? What can you do? But, you know, in response to the first thing you said, that it may be difficult to know. Why? It should not be difficult to know if you're chanting offensively. The only reason, or first reason, that it could be difficult to know is that you're chanting inattentively, which is already offensively. So if you find that you're inattentive, which you should be able to figure out, means your mind is full of other things, you're thinking of other things, then you should know that already I'm offensive. And I know one offense, inattention, I know that one. But the other offenses that may be there also, because of the inattention, I don't know about them yet. But this first offense of being inattentive, I know about because I just saw my mind was going all over everywhere else. So then if we try and be very attentive, then if there are other offenses, and there probably will be, then we'll be able to spot them, like that. So attention or good attention is the beginning of good chanting. If there's not good attention, there cannot be good chanting. There cannot. Not possible. And the only way to know, other than being inattentive, you know, other problems, the only way to know what the other problems are, unless someone else comes and tells you, the only other way to know what other problems are there in your chanting will be if you're attentive enough, and then you may notice them. Isn't it? So this point about being attentive is the first crucial point. You know, even if we're very, very humble and meek, but not attentive, still, it's not going to really work very well. Is that okay? Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes. Okay. Do we want to sit down and have kirtan or stand up and have kirtan? Stand up? Okay.